from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. James on assignment down in Cabo, boots on the ground, doing some deep international scouting for us on the beaches of Cabo in Mexico. And honestly, James, we, and by we, I mean myself, and I'm going to speak for Kenny, D'Lo, Jesse, Charlie, Aaron, everybody here, thank you for your work in getting down to Cabo on behalf of the station. That's really nice of you.
You know, I was in Cancun one time, and I was on the beach in Cancun, and Chris Humphreys ran by. You remember Chris Humphreys? And it was just...
Oh,
it was,
Kim's ex, yes.
Yeah, it was actually the day that it was announced that they were getting divorced.
Get out.
And he had escaped to Cabo, and I'm like, oh, there he is.
Cancun? Like,
Cancun. Yeah. I'm sorry, Cancun. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, hey, look, there he is. Interesting.
Hey, Chris, I got a question. I'm a journalist.
I got a question for you.
Hey, speaking of that, I guess, so Travis Kelce was at the American Century Championship and used to do all sorts of media, like was, from what I understand, one of the most approachable guys at the entire tournament, and this year did zero media. And the crowds,
that's tough.
And the crowds that were following him were like twice the size of any crowd that had ever been out there for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's tough. And I don't know if you saw the Jerry Rice losing his cool.
Yo,
I'm not quite sure what that was all about, because
The video is NSFW, so I can't play it on air. But
yeah.
Two reporters, like independent reporters from Kansas City, they do a podcast or a blog, but like legit, like credentialed guys. They wanted to ask Jerry Rice. And this is how they explain it. Again, I don't know. You can't really see in the video. But they wanted to ask Jerry Rice, like, hey, is the Chiefs wide receiving core good enough to kind of sustain winning? Like, did they do enough to improve that group to continue winning? Well, Jerry took it as them trolling him. He said they were, like, smirking when they asked him.
Oh.
And so...
And they had hats on backwards, and they didn't really look like reporters, but go ahead.
Yeah, they looked like attendants, but they had credentials on and everything, and I legit think that this was just a total miscommunication, because the question felt legit, and if you get a chance to ask Jerry Rice about wide receivers, like, you're gonna, but he took it as trolling, and so he went over and, like, got in one of the guy's faces and was like, I'm gonna F you up, and, like, if you want some, come get some, da-da-da-da. All this stuff just went off on these dudes, and talked to TMZ Sports afterwards and was like, yeah, if I'm going to back the 49ers, like if I think somebody's coming after him, like I'm going to do what I got to do. I was like, dang, Jerry's kind of a real one. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's crazy. Didn't they say like 61-year-old Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy that Jerry Rice is now 61. I
still wouldn't find him, by the way.
What's that?
Said still wouldn't fight him, by the way.
Oh, no, no.
You definitely.
No. When I was a kid, my dad would take us to Rockland every year to go watch 49ers camp.
Mm-hmm.
Cool to be there, you know, like I'd have my little notepad and like players would sign it. And there, like, I remember Bill Ring, like a little short dude, like a backup running back for the 49ers. We both had to climb the fence in order for me to hand my pad to the guy because he was That's short awesome. and I was tiny. But after Jerry Rice's rookie season, we were actually walking around like an area that you don't usually go around at Sierra College. Mm-hmm. And we ran into Jerry Rice. Well, first we saw his car, which was a Porsche. It said Rice on the back. Mm-hmm. And then we actually saw him and he came over and he talked to us. He took pictures with us, signed an autograph when I was young. And really, really cool to sort of meet them at that age. That's, you know, like where sports fandom is built, when your dad takes you to go see things like the 49ers training camp. It was always a blast.
That's really cool. Yeah, Niners training camp starts July 25th or something like that down in Santa Clara this year.
We should be back at Sierra College. That was always fun. They stayed in the dorms and everything.
Oh, they just went all out. Mm-hmm. So they weren't like at Sierra College, but then at a nice hotel out in Sac.
No, they stayed in the dorms. Yeah. And the dorms were like built in the 70s. So, yeah, they weren't very like typical nice dorms, maybe even like late 60s. They weren't really, they're still not nice.
That was one of the things that I've been shook about since. So I went to college at Sac State, of course, Stingers up. Well, the reason I chose Sac State was because I went to a baseball camp there during the summer for a couple of years. And that baseball camp, it's like at the time when I was 14 or 15, it felt like a week long. I think it was like 2 or 3 days. But you stayed overnight and you stayed in the dorms. And I was shook at how much a dorm just looks the same no matter where the school is.
Yeah.
Like the Sacramento State dorms look like the San Jose State dorms, which look like every dorm room in every college movie that's ever been made. Like totally shook.
Me and my best friend he had a girlfriend coming out of high school. She went to UC San Diego. We went down to UC San Diego to stay and we stayed in their dorm. Mm-hmm. And it was like four little bedrooms on the sides and then a giant living room and kitchenette. And I was like, okay, this doesn't look like the things that but you go to Sierra College and it looks straight up like it's like a room. It's like a hallway yep. with a room, and it does not like it does look like every single, you know,
cinder block walls, movie. Painted yes. white, two yes. desks, two beds that are adjustable height. You can get the pins to make it. You can stack them and make it bunk beds if you want. I was an RA at Sac State.
Oh, yeah.
And having a room to yourself, because there's not like a special RA room with only one. I had two beds. You push those together. So now I have like a whatever that I guess it was probably a full size bed at that point. I can move anything. I got like two dressers. Oh, it was awesome. It was the best thing. college kids, if you ever get a chance to be an RA, do it.
There you go.
But don't be a stickler about it. You know, you got to be like cool. Obviously, you got to do your job. But if somebody, for example, this just random example, if somebody was sitting there doing their homework and they had like a beer on their desk, you might walk by and be like, hey, if there's anything in here you wouldn't want me to say, you might want to hide it. Mm. And then just like go on about your day. And then if you come back and they've got three beers on their desk now, okay, now they're just an idiot and you're going to write them up. But just pro tip for any future RAs out there.
I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good conversation, Kyle.
Just a huge dork. The Kawhi Leonard thing, just real quick update on this. It's officially weird.
It's gotten really weird.
So
really weird. I don't know what to say about this. It's weird.
I don't either. So Team USA announced when Kawhi Leonard left that basically like this was a decision in conjunction with the Clippers. This is for best for Kawhi's health. It's swelling in his knee and this and that and da 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 da. And then the Clippers president of basketball ops, Lawrence Frank, comes out and was like, "Nah, Team USA just got him out of there. Like, we were looking forward to watching him play." Like, man, what? He's going, yeah, his knee was fine, and Kawhi said his knee was good, and we worked super hard to make sure he was going to be ready for the summer. We were excited to watch him and then excited to have him in camp and this and that. And that just contradicts entirely what Team USA said. So I have no idea what's going on with the Kawhi thing, but this does establish that anything involving Kawhi Leonard is a weirdo. Is not Kawhi Leonard is a weirdo. Well, a little bit, but who's not? Anything involving Kawhi Leonard is weird. I'm out on the Clippers as long as Kawhi Leonard's around.
I think the whole thing is totally bizarre that Team USA tried to, like, they sent a dude home. They cut Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
They did. They cut him. And we don't know why, but that's like, hey, the whole team here is Hall of Famers. Kawhi, you got to go home. Like,
Derek White, get in here.
Right. Yeah, Derek White. We need Derek White. We do not need Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, you got to go.
Yeah, maybe there's something with his health that he just didn't quite look right in practice. Although Lawrence Frank said in the practices for Team USA, he looked great. So maybe Team USA's doctors or something saw an issue or something that was going to be an issue down the line, and so they just cut their losses early and got Derek White in there. I don't know, but this is officially a weird story.
It's a weird story. Yeah. Not as weird as Patrick Beverley showing up. Patrick Beverley has decided to go play in Israel. So no more Pat Bev in the NBA. So there you go.
Boy,
that happened this morning.
What are we going to do? How does this change the landscape of the league? We'll talk about it next. We got some good idea coming up. We also have to rank the Kings offseason moves as well. Plus some MLB. Also, God, we got a lot to get to and not a lot of time left. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Anytime you talk about food on the radio, bro.
Oh, yeah, it's on now.
Strawberries and apples are my go-to fruits. I like grapes as well. I'll do a peach, a plum, an apricot, a mango, things of that nature. I just don't love cantaloupe, dog. What do you want from me?
You know, like, we don't, like, cantaloupe, watermelon, honeydew, none of those do we have in the house. Like, I will eat any of those, but the kids and the wife, the kids are not really kids anymore. My sons and my wife, like, meh, they're like, no. And we had someone house sit for us and they left a cantaloupe and it's like, well, what are we gonna do with this thing? Just look at it.
Yeah.
watch it get a soft spot and go away, and we'll throw it in the trash.
Chop it up and go set it outside. Let the birds eat it.
There you go.
Yeah. If you like cantaloupe, though, congratulations. There is more cantaloupe in the world for you because I'm not eating it. You're
there
welcome.
There you go. My mom would eat cantaloupe with salt on cantaloupe.
Hmm. Yeah. You ever had watermelon and feta cheese?
No.
It sounds insane. It's delicious. I'm not doing a bit.
Okay.
Like, that's a thing that people eat. And I was with whoever looked at their radio or their computer screen with this face.
Mm-hmm.
With a stank face just now. I did the same thing. And I was anti for a long time. And then I tried it. And wow. It's apparently feta cheese just makes everything better.
It's really good. You know, I had a neighbor when we lived in Roseville. We had neighbors that they only came up every other weekend or so to their house. And we would clear all the garbage off their front door, like all the little, you know, door tags that people put on to sell window shades or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd clean all that stuff. And we'd make sure I would mow their lawn when they were gone.
Sure.
And they were super nice. And they would bring us cases of mangoes. And so I got into making mango salsa, which is incredible. Yeah.
Love a mango salsa. I'm not going to bring this up in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Zabo, grow up, dog. Come on.
Oh.
Joking. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got for us today?
How's it going, Kyle? James, too bad you couldn't bring Kyle over there, but he'd be too busy throwing strikes.
Yeah, exactly. You tell him, Mitch.
That's right, Mitch.
Too lazy to scout him. Because they don't want to pay anybody above minimum wage, but I'm sure minimum wage in baseball will be fine in everybody's book.
Yeah.
Right? I would take it.
Same.
Congratulations. Yeah. And that sounds good. Fettuccine, you said fettuccine cheese and watermelon?
Feta cheese.
Okay, feta cheese.
Yeah, don't make some fettuccine Alfredo and, like, throw watermelon in it. That sounds gross. Don't do that.
No, It does. Sounds gross.
Fettuccine. Do you think the Kings will make one more trade, somebody for the front court, I hope? And LeBron, I kind of interesting. But LeBron should have kept told him to stay in New York City, which I wish he did.
Yeah.
It's too bad they can't go back to college or they don't get drafted. Because from my recollection, college players are getting money now. Serious money now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The athletes at least.
Yeah. No doubt. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. We'll talk about the Kings' offseason moves here in a bit. I want to get to
that's a good point, though. Like before we skip,
yeah,
that
please.
Is a really good point. Like Bronny probably could have made more money staying at the college level.
Yeah,
For right now than he will as a pro.
Do you think it was that? Do you think financials were the incentive though? Like
no,
in my mind, they thought this is best for his development.
His dad's got to be close to a billionaire if he isn't a billionaire.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they thought this was development related more than financial related.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mitch is right. Like if Bronny had stayed in college, he would have had whatever NIL deals he wanted. And
yep.
I think he probably would have been making more than he's making right now. All right, good idea or bad idea. Three things that are happening in the news that we want to talk about. We'll decide if those things are a good idea or a bad idea. Watch the Home Run Derby last night. James, is it a good idea or a bad idea to go to the Home Run Derby and sit in the outfield where the home runs might go?
Oh, I think it would be, I would love to do that.
Okay.
Like, for me, I think that would be a good idea. I'd, you know, bring my outfielder's glove.
Of course.
Not my second baseman
glove. No, that'd be ridiculous.
I'd be out there, like, trying to, like, catch fly balls.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I'm out. I think it's a terrible idea. I'm out on people. Like, if everybody was respectful and normal, then that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
But, dude, the amount of, look, home run to seat, let's call it 6 last night. You've got seats 1 through 5 and 7 through 12 all diving across each other to try and get this freaking baseball. Like, relax. I'm just out. Dude, the first time somebody slammed into me because they were trying to get to a ball they had no chance to get, I'm not a fighter. We're fighting, and I'm getting kicked out.
Oh.
That would, oh, I'd be pissed.
Okay, so I've been to a ton of baseball games. I've been to a ton of baseball games, both pro and, like, AAA and
Yeah. Minors and majors. Yeah.
I've never got a foul ball. I've never got a home run, even though I've been to batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's always that one a-hole that runs around and catches in batting practice every home run.
It's a joke.
You know, he's got like wristbands on and he's, you know, 47 years old and he's running around with a hat on.
This is his life's mission.
And he comes away with like 23 balls every single batting practice. And like, there's always that guy at every stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I would at least try it. Like that would be fun. Like for a home run derby, like to be out there. I would be like, okay, I'll sit here and battle with people. I don't care.
Yeah. Also, hey, look, this is just a pro tip. If you want to sit in the outfield, I don't begrudge you. That's your bag. Go for it. Understand with the people around you how you're going to high five. I saw more high fives to fists last night.
Oh, no.
You had people going in for the dap and you're getting smacked. It was brutal to watch. It was like when I first met Zabo from the Chatty House and I botched the dap. It was like that, but at time and time and time again. If you're going to do that, get to the 7 or 8 people in your nearest vicinity and be like, hey, I'm a high five guy. If I catch one, we're high fiving.
Yes.
Or I'm a fist pump guy or a fist bump guy or I'm a dap guy. Whatever you are, I don't care. Just specify with the people around you so you're not getting embarrassed on national television after you catch a fly ball. Okay, number two. Good idea or bad idea? Going to the home run derby, but not sitting in the outfield.
Oh, no. That's like going to a house to watch it get painted. Like just watching paint dry. Like, oh, look, it's another home run. Oh, look. Another home run. Like, I don't know.
I think I agree with you because I was sitting there last night. I was watching this entire thing. And I'm with you, man. I was like, oh, my God, this is just, I can't. If you're in the outfield and every batter, there's a chance that you might get to catch one. Okay, fine. You're locked in. You're dialed. But if you're sitting in, like, the second deck behind home plate, you've got no shot. Because even a foul ball isn't getting, they're not popping foul balls back in this event. You have no chance to catch a baseball. I will say the end when Bobby Witt Jr. was chasing Teoscar Hernandez and is in his bonus round, and he has one swing left, and he's a local kid, and he's hit like two or three in a row to get it within one. He has one out to work with. The entire place is standing. The vibe seemed electric, but you had to sit there for 3 hours to reach that point. If I'm not sitting in the outfield, I wouldn't be going.
I think it might be just sort of like the Twitter culture and Sports Center culture, but you know, there's that, there's those car videos that you can watch either, you know, on Reels or whatever, where there's someone whose door cam catches the idiots that drive too fast on their street and hit the speed bump and mm-hmm. like their car gets trashed.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. You know, I like to watch that on occasion and like, oh, look at that. Boom. Oh no. Look at this big truck coming through. He's going to hit the double speed mm-hmm. bump. Oh, that's not going to be good. What I don't want to do is sit there on the porch and wait all day to watch that happen. I just want to watch what the door cam footage got. And then someone clipped it. So I get to see all the worst. That's what I want to see. I no longer want to see 47 home runs, but the one moment, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a lot of waiting around for just a couple of swings worth of drama. All right.
Exactly.
Last one. It sounds like the Clippers are going to trade Russell Westbrook, or it sounds like they're trying very hard to trade for Russell Westbrook. Is it a good idea or a bad idea to acquire Russell Westbrook at this point?
Okay, so I always look at things like through the contractual lens.
Okay.
If you're a team that needs scoring and that you're not so much worried about wins and losses, but you do want to put people in the seats, he only makes like $4 million.
Yeah, man, so, super cheap.
Yeah. If I'm a team out there that, like, you know, you're not going to be super good and you might have a spot on the back end of the roster or, you know, the back end of your rotation where you can play a guy, mm-hmm. like, why not? Like, again, if you're Washington, like, why not? Like, he's equal to or better than watching Jordan Poole play. I just, if I'm a team that has, like, envisions, like, making a deep run.
So Denver.
Or I've got a bunch of like young players. I don't want him around in those situations. Like if Denver wants to do it, like so be it. They did the same thing with Reggie Jackson last year,
mm-hmm.
And then they dumped Reggie Jackson like unceremoniously on the Charlotte Hornets. But I think but I also don't love it.
I think at this point it's a good idea. Like I think I'm pro that move for Denver because I think Russ understands more where he's at in his career now. And I think he could be more. Yeah, I do. And I think he could be more of an asset than he would have been even 2 years ago.
Maybe.
Where he's now like a microwave bench scorer, playmaker type, go get you a couple of rebounds, buy a couple of extra possessions. But at the same time, I'm not looking at Denver. I think Denver's a contender in the West for sure. But if they go get Russell Westbrook, I'm also not like, oh, that's the missing piece. I think you can help him, but I'm not.
I've been around Russ to know that he's odd. And like you got to have the right culture in order to have that guy there.
For sure. Well, Nikola Jokic, pretty odd dude too. So maybe they'd get along. All right, let's talk Kings offseason moves. We'll rank them from best to worst coming up next. I've also got a couple of summer league notes, including one of my draft guys crushing it last night. Can't wait to tell you all about it next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They're Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
75,000 is so many unread emails, dude.
It's a lot. Take great pride in it, Kyle.
But seeing the number there, the notification, that little red bubble doesn't bother you at all?
No.
Like, it just non-factor for you?
No, I mean, with emails, which are like...
Oh, I have...
so many.
Go ahead, sorry.
I don't know. There's so many things there that, like... Like they don't matter. So with phone calls or with I look at my texts every day. Like I don't leave text in there. Phone calls or voicemails.
Sure.
I check those all the time, you know, but like maybe I haven't cleared out junk or something because I'm in Mexico, but overall I keep that stuff clean. It's just the emails.
I want to paint a picture for everybody. So James has his home screen, right? And the little mail icon has the little red notification bubble with like almost 75,000 unread emails in it. And I go insane when I have like double digits, right? So James, are you a person that if you start a television program and you're not feeling it, will you just punt?
No, I watch the whole thing.
Interesting. Okay.
I'll watch a whole series.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but I thought maybe there was a like, somebody who has to like if they start something, they have to finish whatever it was. And I thought maybe that there was an element of that to my wanting to make sure all my notifications were gone because I'm the same way. If I start a series, it's like, I'm bashing my way through this, even if I hate it.
Oh yeah.
I have to get it done.
I'm the same way. Yeah, like I'm like, okay, if there's six seasons, I might give up on something like halfway through the second or third season. Yeah. But if it's that bad, if it goes south and you're like, okay, this is lame. They jumped the shark like way too long ago. I can't keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give up. But it takes that long. Like I'm going to give something like five or six episodes without any question.
It's the show Weeds for me.
Mm, yeah.
You can stop Weeds after like season four. But I bashed all the way through it.
Agree.
Watched the whole thing. As weird as it got. Anyways.
I got to season four and I kept going. And then I got like a couple. I'm like, okay, way too south. And I loved it when it was original. But then it lost its way, like very much so.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I'm not going to say spoilers, but there's a huge event that happens in the show that when that happens, stop watching. It's over. If you want to know what that is, hit me up on Twitter and I'll let you know. All right. The Kings have made four really significant offseason moves.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the Jordan McLaughlin signing. All right, so we have the Devin Carter draft pick. We have the DeMar DeRozan trade. We have Malik Monk being re-signed, and we have the Mike Brown extension. Let's start at the bottom. What is the least, significant of those moves?
It's got to be Devin Carter, and that's not a disrespect to Devin Carter. No. It's that, number one, he's a rookie. Number two, he's going to miss half, if not all, the season.
Yeah, there's a chance that if he comes out and is just an awesome player, that becomes one of the more significant moves of the Monty McNair tenure. But right now, it's got to go at the bottom of the list. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah. And like, realistically, I think his injury, what it does is it opens the door for Keon Ellis to cement himself as a rotational player.
Yep.
And then who knows what happens after that. But like, I think it does give them, like, it gives Keon a little boost. And overall, I just think it's not of the moves. Either way, I would not have moved it higher. Like, I think it was going to be number four on this list no matter what.
I think I go, man, the next one up is tough.
Mm.
I think I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan trade next.
Okay.
And let me just say, I have it Devin Carter at the bottom, then DeMar DeRozan trade, then I'm going to go Malik Monk resigning, and I'm going to go Mike Brown extension at one. That's
okay.
So
I'll throw my list out too, and then we can discuss. Yeah, I'm going to go number three is Malik Monk. I think you lose the offseason if you don't resign him. Number two is going to be the Mike Brown extension. And number one for me is DeMar DeRozan.
Mm. Why is DeMar DeRozan one for you?
DeMar DeRozan, I think it's clear that the Kings have never, ever gone out in free agency and been able to sign a guy who averages 24-5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
No doubt.
Like, they've never been that team. And regardless of age, and this is a question that I think we'll have for tomorrow if we're able to land a guest that we have coming on, that we hopefully have coming on. But, I want to know what DeMar DeRozan looks like in a year. I want to know what he looks like in 2 years, and then maybe even in year three, because, DeMar DeRozan could be here 4 or 5 years if he continues to play at an elite level. But the fact that at his age, he was able to be the player that he was, that he was able to lead the league in minutes played, that he was able to lead the league in average minutes per game. And then he provides this thing that the Kings lacked desperately at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like the number one. You just landed in like a A-list free agent.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Kings have never landed an A-list free agent. So I don't even think that it matters for today for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it also matters for next season, the season after, the season after that, that you just land an A-list free agent. Can you do it again? I mean, this is something we've never seen before. We're all of a sudden in uncharted waters in Sacramento, and like, hat tip to Monty and Wes for being able to get this deal done. But that's something that hasn't happened, where you went out and got a dude who's a six-time All-Star, a Hall of Famer, like in his prime. Well, not in his prime, but still playing like he's in his prime.
Here's why I have it at three. And again, this is not to say that this is insignificant, but it is in order of significance. And I'm just going to run through my list here. I think everything you said about the DeMar DeRozan trade and what this means for the Kings moving forward and this and that, I don't disagree with you. But if they're not extending Mike Brown, and you're going into this season where you have a lame duck head coach, and now you've pissed off your head coach, and now he may not re-sign at all, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. To me, the Mike Brown extension was the most important thing, because it established, okay, this is what we're doing moving forward. This is what the team is going to look like, and the vision that Mike Brown has and what he's built over the last 2 years, that's what's going to be the foundation of the Sacramento Kings moving forward. It's De'Aaron Fox, it's Domantas Sabonis, it's Keegan Murray, it's Mike Brown. And that's the foundation. And then you have to add Malik Monk into that mix. And you even said it, if you didn't get the Malik Monk thing done, and that's why he's number two for me, you're in such a massive hole from an offseason standpoint, because now you're having to replace Malik Monk as a sixth man, but who's exactly going to do that? You're having to replace his leadership. Every player at their what do we call it? Exit interviews, their end of season press conferences, brought up how Malik Monk is the team's voice. He's their leader. Everybody kind of follows him. That would have been such a massive void left if Malik Monk walks in free agency. And if he had let it, would it, we would have, like, think of this, how the post Malik Monk re-signing show, the vibes have never been higher. And if he had left, the show would have been, it would have been like despondence. So I think that re-signing Malik Monk, and I think you could say a lot of the things that you said about DeMar DeRozan, I think you could say the same thing about Malik Monk re-signing, because all the reporting that I've seen is that there was going to be more money for him out there. And mm-hmm. he chose not to take the money and instead decided to stay here in Sacramento with what they've built and to continue to be part of this program. And he took a pretty team-friendly deal to do it. So I believe that Malik Monk re-signing set the foundation for, I think Mike Brown extension set the foundation for Malik Monk to re-sign, which then set the foundation to bring in a player like DeMar DeRozan. Because now that's that piece where you go from like, okay, fringe playoff team to now, to me, you're a top six team in the West. And that is hugely significant. And I love that they went and did it. And I would do that deal 10 out of 10 times, and it makes the Kings better, no doubt. But I don't think you get to the DeMar DeRozan thing without the Malik Monk signing, and I don't think you get there without the Mike Brown extension, which is why I ordered them the way I did.
Okay. Yeah, and I my response would be, like, look, I think that there are two ways you could have lost the offseason completely.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you didn't extend Mike Brown, you lose the offseason. Like, I wrote about this. People don't like that I wrote about this, but, like, if you would have done the same thing you did with Michael Malone, where you went out and you got somebody to sign a massive extension, buy into your program like you did with Domantas Sabonis, and turn around mm-hmm. and fire the coach the next summer, or to not extend him and make him walk into a lame duck season and potentially lose him at the end of that season,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's a problem. That's a huge problem, because it not only is a poor decision, but it shows that you didn't learn from the first poor decision,
mm-hmm.
right, that you made before. Which was doing the same exact thing with Michael Malone and Rudy Gay.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gay, like, called this basketball hell because he signed up, and a month later, you fired the coach that yep. he signed up to play for, right? So that's the first thing, right? And I think you lose the offseason. If you would have lost Malik Monk, like, realistically, there's no way to replace him. You would still be scrambling right now to find that other move just to replace Malik Monk. And the fact that you got him, and you don't have to, and that your culture is intact with both Mike Brown and Malik Monk,
mm-hmm.
I get it. But both of those moves, in all honesty, they are part of the fabric of the organization that won 46 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not losing the offseason. Winning the offseason is going out and getting a six-time All-Star and a future Hall of Famer who averaged 24 points a game. Sure. And that's why I put him number one, because I can see, like, you can't get better. You can be 46 to 48 to maybe 50 wins if you didn't make the DeRozan trade. But now there's a potential for you to win the offseason completely yeah. by adding a player that may or may not fit perfectly, but certainly gives you a whole bunch of things that you did not have before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why the overall point here to me is how many really quality moves the Kings made and really quality things the Kings did this offseason, because I don't know that there's necessarily a wrong order here.
Yeah.
Because I have DeRozan 3, you have him at 1, and we'll get Kenny Caraway in here in a second from D'Lo and KC. We'll get him in here for the handoff. D'Lo and KC, of course, hanging out with you from noon until 4. You ready? We getting in here?
Yeah, there we go.
We logged in?
Let's get Kenny. I don't think we're logged in.
I got to mute. Got to get Kenny. Kenny Caraway, everybody. It's time for the handoff. We are ranking the big four offseason moves for the Kings.
Okay.
We have the Devin Carter draft pick.
Okay.
We have DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
We have Mike Brown extension. Uh-huh. We have Malik Monk re-signing.
Devin Carter's 4.
Oh, wait. Got to get your mic on. There we go. Devin Carter's 4. That is consensus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's consensus. Congratulations, everybody. We've agreed on that. What's number 3 for you?
I'm trying to decide between
tough,
Mike Brown
dude.
And Malik Monk. I'm gonna say Malik Monk.
Kenny's trying to trade Malik Monk.
Excuse me. I'm gonna say Mike Brown.
Wow,
Mike Brown is 3. Malik Monk is 2. Only because Malik Monk was going to leave, right? Like he mm-hmm. didn't have any years on his contract. I know lame duck year and all this other stuff, but technically Mike Brown was under contract to be here this mm-hmm. year. Malik Monk wasn't going to be here if he didn't sign. So
yeah.
Put Malik Monk 2, Mike Brown 3, and DeMar DeRozan number 1.
Why is DeRozan 1?
Because it changes the trajectory of your franchise right now. Like it takes you from, if you didn't sign DeMar DeRozan, if you didn't get anybody, or like you, I think you're a playoff team. I think you're a team that could be, you know, top 5 or 6 maybe, but that's probably your ceiling.
Interesting.
With DeMar DeRozan, I think you're a certified, verified top 6 team. Your ceiling raises to... This is where
I hear you. James said something very similar, and I think that's right. And I've said it on this very radio station that the DeMar DeRozan trade gets you to this, but I don't think you get to a DeMar DeRozan trade without Mike Brown signing an extension.
True.
Or without Malik Monk resigning.
True.
But I totally get what you guys are both saying, and you're both absolutely correct. Had they not done the Malik Monk trade, but the DeMar DeRozan trade, we'd be sitting here like, okay, so they're kind of running it back.
Yeah.
And it'd feel really disappointing.
But the
DeMar DeRozan trade, now it's like, okay, there it is. That's the big move.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. It's picking nits a little bit because, I said, well, Mike Brown, I didn't think he was going to, like, resign. Mm-hmm. If he didn't get a contract,
that would have been nuts.
You know what I mean? He was going to be here regardless. He might have been here, you know, pouting, or, you know, maybe you wouldn't have been able to sign those guys, but he was still going to be here next year. These other two quite possibly weren't. So it's the only thing that we all agree on is Devin Carter's 4.
Yeah, that's no disrespect to Devin Carter. He's just
not at all. Just in the landscape of this offseason. Devin Carter's 4 on that one.
Yeah.
Well, then the injury. I think the injury plays a huge role in that too. And I'm with you. Like, I it's tough. This team without Mike Brown would be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you watch a home run derby last night?
I watched a little bit of it. I watched a little bit of it. What's the name for the Dodgers one? Right,
Teoscar Hernandez. Yeah. He was my pick to win it too.
Goddamn Dodgers, man.
I know it's ridiculous.
They always find
it's
something. Ridiculous. But I saw a little bit of it. I will say. The national anthem thing, I thought that was overblown. I really did. Like, it wasn't good, but...
It was really bad.
It was nowhere near Carl Lewis and Fergie. Nowhere near.
You thought it wasn't?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
So we were in a meeting with our guy Complex. Mm-hmm. I just kept seeing, like, I'm scrolling the phone. I kept seeing tweets. Oh, my gosh, this was horrible. This was horrible. Kept seeing tweets. I was like, what the hell did this sound like? So we finally got out of the meeting.
You didn't just stop the meeting to listen?
Almost. A couple times, almost. But I got out of the meeting and heard it. And I was like, that wasn't good. But I didn't need that to be on my timeline for like an hour straight. Like, it wasn't that.
Were you scrolling Twitter in a meeting?
Yeah. We got to stay up to loop what's going on. I can multitask, though. I can listen to my man Complex.
I can't.
And figure out what's going on.
I used to think I could scroll Twitter and listen. Uh-huh. I cannot. Right. I've punted on that idea.
Well, we have interesting
meetings. I can fake
meetings.
Listen.
So I can, like, what he's saying is kind of interesting. I'm probably more listening to what's being said as opposed to, like, what's on my timeline. Right.
Okay.
So you got it. One thing gets the majority of your attention. Mm-hmm. His what he's saying gets more of my attention than
I see.
What
Until you realize how many national anthem tweets are coming, and then
I kept seeing
that.
I said, what the hell? What does it sound like? And it wasn't good, but it was not Carl Lewis and Fergie.
Okay.
Lewis is, I think, the worst.
Yeah, that one is really bad.
Yeah, Carl that Lewis and him really throwing bad. Out a first pitch, that's also probably the worst.
Oh, that was awful.
I'm not watching any bad first
awful.
Pitch videos all week.
You'll be fine.
I'm not watching any videos all week.
You got this.
I'm not manifesting. I've got a throwing program that I'm going through right now.
You know what you should do? Nah, I can't.
I'm all
even
about
say.
Pliability and strengthening. Go ahead.
I can't even say it. I can't even say it because if it happens, then it's going to take away from the specialness of it.
Okay.
You should just throw an awful pitch.
No.
No.
What do you think is going to get more eyes on you? A good pitch or an awful pitch?
I don't care about eyes on me. I have pride, bro. My pride is what I care about.
Nah, I mean, look, I'm telling you something that I would.
If I would never throw
a bad first pitch.
If I'm, dude, no, I'm not going to intentionally, for pardon the pun, throw the first pitch. Like, I'm not going to mess it up on purpose. Be like, oh look, I threw it. Oh no,
I think you should fire it in there. No, don't lob it. Fire it in there.
I'm not the main
75
character.
75 miles per hour.
No, I'm not. I'm not the main character. I'm going to go out there. If they let me throw it from the mound, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Little leg kick, no wind up, just little leg kick. One pop. I'm gonna wear a glove, obviously.
Okay. Well, that's different.
One pop in the glove, and then I'm just gonna
fire it in there.
No, because then I might overthrow it, and no one's gonna be impressed, dude. Here's the deal: if I throw a strike, people are gonna be like, "Wow, he threw a strike! Good for wow! Look at the first pitch guy threw a strike.
Like, that's awesome.
Get it, got it to the plate, threw a strike. Good for him. If I throw it, I'm guessing if I really got into one right now, I could get it like 60. If I just really got behind
it, arm would fall off. I tried that one time at like ESPN Zone. Like, I'm gonna throw it as hard as I can, and my arm looked like all my little ligaments detached.
That's dude, my UCL is cursing me out like right now. You saying that? So no, it's not gonna be anything like that because I'm not gonna throw the River Cats aren't gonna be like, why we gotta sign this guy?
Well, you never know.
So I'm just gonna.
I had a moment in a softball game where we were clubbing this team. And just kept hitting single, single, double, single, single, single. And a guy hit a ball to the outfield. I think I was on second. They threw the ball into the shortstop. The shortstop turned and we're at Mahaney out in Roseville. He fired it out of the stadium, across the street, and to the apartment complex.
Oh, my goodness.
And the umpire goes, that's it. Game over. And we all walked off the field because that guy lost his mind. So I'm wondering, Kyle, would that be a bit? Could you just like see if you can throw it over the top and out of the stadium?
Announcer's booth.
Yeah. Well, my guy Zach Beirutti is their broadcaster. Maybe I'll just try and fire one up to Z-Bay. I'll be like, bro, wear a glove. We'll play some catch.
I'm telling you, you go viral.
But I don't want to go just viral for that, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known as because then like, hey, that guy likes baseball. He can't throw one for nothing.
Yeah,
like that's such a base athletic thing, okay? Uh-huh. Is throwing a ball, just throwing a baseball, and I personally, again, baseball my favorite. I played it from the time I was 3 years old, all the way through high school.
Yeah,
and I tried to pursue playing like adult leagues in college. It didn't work out, but I love the sport. Like it is my with this opportunity, this thing that I've wanted to do since the first baseball game I ever attended.
Yeah.
I was like, someone gets to do that. I want to do that. This is my first ever opportunity. I'm not throwing it away so I can be viral for a day. And well, viral, not even on Twitter. Like, it's not even a major league game. It's not, and I'm not famous. I'm not 50 Cent. I'm not pick a person who's had a bad first pitch. No one's going to give a rip. I'm just going to be the idiot who can't throw a baseball.
Fire it in there. That's what I say. Fire it in there. 70 miles per hour. You can be like that one minor league guy who thought he hit a home run and started rounding the bases, but the wind knocked it down. It got caught at the warning track, and he didn't realize until he got to third base. Ooh. I actually think past third base.
That's tough.
That's an all-time moment. It's a game nobody cared about, but we remember him forever.
And I've never Carl Lewis doing that stuff, that was 25 years ago.
Carl Lewis can't throw. 50 and Conor McGregor, I think that was a work.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that was a work. I think they did that on purpose.
Maybe. See, but I just don't. Wow. I'm not going to do that.
That's why I say fire it in there, man.
Yeah, no,
72
I'm just gonna
miles per hour.
Nice and easy. Whatever I got to do to throw a strike. If I throw a strike, I can fist pump and be like, yes, proud of myself. I did it. Cross it off the bucket list. Because if I botch it, then it'll be like, when can I come back? Let me try again.
You only get one first pitch.
I know, and that's why it's got to be good. This is not the thing I'm going to try and go viral for. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
I mean, we got to talk about this Brandon Ayuk situation just a little bit. It's perplexing to say the least, but we'll get into it. Talking about the Kings Summer League, and James Dolan needs to sit down and shut up.
Love that. Can't wait to listen. D'Lo and KC coming up noon until 4. Then it's the MLB All-Star Game. First pitch, 5 o'clock. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.